Wonderful. We just watched the trailer for your new film, Mikael Kross. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
It's good. It's been, hectic couple of weeks now with the launch of the movie. So it premieres on this Friday mm-hmm. all over Sweden. So it's going to be interesting to see the response of the movie. And, we've been working for it with it for, I think, 6-7 years, something like that.
Oh my god. So and finally in the cinemas this week.
And finally in the cinemas, yeah.
What a journey.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you watch your own trailer like that and you can see that your film is finally coming out?
It's a strange feeling because I've been working with this movie so many years. Mm. So it's definitely a strange feeling, but at the same time it feels really nice that it's done. It's completed now and it's just going to go out to the audience to see it.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about the conception of the film at the start? Like, how did you get involved with this film and how did you start the collaboration with the director?
Yeah, so that was a story that I was working with developing another show called Alex for mm-hmm. Viaplay.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in what we call development hell with that project. And I really wanted to make something, either a feature film or another show or something like that, while being in development hell for Alex.
Yeah.
And my partner, colleague at the studio, film studio that I was working with at the moment, she told me, like, Michael, you like action. I have a friend here, Ola Rappas. He likes action. You two should meet for lunch. So a couple of weeks later, we met for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then... after that lunch, Ola told me, like, hey, Mike, I want to work with you.
Mm.
And I wanted to work with him on something, but we didn't have anything to work with. So we wanted to work together on something new, but we didn't have anything to work with. And I talked with my colleague, who is a director, Tobias Leo Nordqvist.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this kind of idea for a short film or something like that.
Mm.
And I took a look at it and I said, wow, this is really cool project. And I know that Tobias has the same kind of, because I work a lot with visualization of concepts.
Yeah.
And Tobias and I share a lot of similarities when creating concepts in the case of style or tone or something like that, that kind of vibes. And so I brought him on board. I told Ola, let's do this movie. Let's try to find finance and let's try to see if we can do it.
Yeah.
And let's take the best from the independent world of doing movies and let's take the best from the organized world of doing movies.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I was also working with a major film studio called Tre Vänner.
Yeah.
Eller today, they are named SF Studios.
Yeah.
So we wanted to see if we could do a movie on a lower budget, mm-hmm. but with the same quality and with the same quality and structures as you're doing a organized, big motion picture, and see if we could put that together.
Yeah,
because a lot of people, if we were looking at the independent world of cinema, is that they focus too much on the creative parts,
mm-hmm.
and they forget about this movie has to have an audience when it gets out to the big masses.
Very true.
And the analysis and the marketing and stuff like that. So we wanted to take the best of how you are looking at a movie from that angle, and at the same time we wanted to take the best from the indie world, like you're doing a movie with your soul, your heart,
mm-hmm.
That kind of the vibes, and we wanted to put that together.
Yeah.
So that was the short story of how the movie.
Exactly. And it's been quite a few rounds. It's almost like it took almost 7 years to make, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, we had I told Tobias and Ola that let me make some phone calls,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to see how much money we can get. So I think I got like 200K in 4 weeks, something like that. And a typical movie cost about, in dollars, I think, what's the dollar in now? Eight, nine, something like that. So $2 million is like a typical movie in Sweden. Like so we started with 200K and I greenlighted the project and said, let's start here. And we started to shoot the movie. And then when the money ran out, so we had to, go and collect more money. And that also took a couple of years, So we had to, when we had money, we shot the movie. And then we just took a break when the money was,
then you could continue with the post-production, basically.
Yeah, and we had a post-production company ready to go, but they went bankrupt. So it pushed the movie further, like 1 year. So it was like these kind of delays all the time. And especially with this kind of movie, which is done, produced outside the normal system of how you're making movies. That also creates obstacles along the way that you have to, find solutions for.
Of course. Yeah, I think it can be inspiring for many because, making a feature film is very few feature films being made every year in Sweden, especially in the independent scene at this quality. So
definitely, definitely. Producing movies is all about solving problems all the time. That's to be a good producer is, to be a good problem solver. Because movies at the end of the day is all, it's a big problem that you need to solve.
For sure.
Or multiple problems all the time.
Putting out fires, basically.
Definitely all the time. And that's the advice I got from, why I started producing movies. When I started producing movies, my friend told me like, Michael, you're a good problem solver. That's all you need to know when you're producing movies. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. So I didn't have any background in producing movies before. I had a background in music management and PR.
Really?
I was so sick and tired of it. It wasn't... I felt that it wasn't... there was too little heart and soul in that kind of work, at least from my point of view.
It was more a commercial endeavor in some sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how did you do the transition, like from music to producing or going into the film world? How was that transition for you?
Good question. I think that, for my part, I was so sick and tired of the whole music industry and the events and management. And when I had that lunch with my friend who was like, Michael, you should start producing. And I had no clue, what producing was. I had no clues whatsoever. And he was like, yeah, the only thing you need to know is that you're a good problem solver and that's it. So two weeks later, we had a meeting with Sony BMG, which owned the Idol format for the Swedish television, the American show, but in the Swedish part of the show. And they needed a music video for one of their winners. Weeks later, we came to this, huge, big room with the A&Rs. And because I've been working with music, I knew some of the A&Rs.
Right.
But they didn't know that I hadn't produced before. They knew me from the the PR management event kind of side of things. And the meeting went really great. It was me and my friend who at that time was a music video director.
Yeah.
And at the end of the meeting we got the job. And they just forgot to ask me if I had produced any videos before. So I just shut my mouth and didn't say anything. And we got the job.
Just shot for the stars.
Exactly. So it was some kind of, just let yourself out there. Jump into the water and see if you will swim or not.
But you must have had kind of a big conviction to take that step, anyways. Did you feel confident at that time, or did you feel like you had to make some... did you feel?
I think the best way to handle things is not to go into things being confident. I think that's, you should go into new things with an open mind, without knowing anything about the consequences, without knowing... The less you know, the better.
Right.
Because that's how you learn, You learn. If you're too confident, shit will go... The shit will hit the fan. Yeah. Often.
You shouldn't think that you know everything.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. You should learn. I learned along the way. And sure, it was a bumpy ride, to say the least. And it costed me a lot of money. And that's also the reason why I'm so, I'm very active on social media, on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To inspire people and to not make the same mistakes as I did. Because when we started doing the kind of music videos, commercials, and then later on documentaries and feature films, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any inspiration as well, because the people who were in the industry, they were reluctant on, letting us in on the insights.
Right.
So we had to just, step into the dark water and just learn to swim by ourselves, And
So how about the if we take the next step on the journey that you took, how did you go from the music video to the documentary? for an instance. How did that kind of progression happen?
Yeah, so we did some music after that first music video. It went really good, and we did some more. We did, you know, Hadaway, What Is Love, Hadaway. He went to here to Sweden. We did stuff with him and Dr. Alban and a lot of artists suddenly. You know, it was really fun. So I got the, you know, the spark that, oh shit, that was good. This is a good feeling doing this kind of videos. And then I got in touch with an actor called Dragomir Mirsic on the set. So he was actually on the set while we were, my friend who I did my first feature film with. Oh, maybe I should back the band now.
Go for it.
So we did the music video parts, and then my friend who tricked me into doing music videos, he got back to me and he told me like, Michael, we have an you know, we have an idea here for a horror movie. And we have no money. Would you like to produce it with us? So I jumped on board that. It was a movie called Samshet, directed by Fredrik Hiller, produced by Tobbe Malmén.
Remember that very well.
And that was, and I went on as executive producer, and I also handled all the PR and marketing because I had experience of how to package things. And we jumped on board that ship, and I took the taxi driver license. So I started to work as a cab driver by night. So I was working almost every night for 5 years as a cab driver. And by day we were working with the feature film. And that was also a movie that, you know, was made outside the system. I think we had, you know, 100K or something like that to do that movie. So it was a very low budget movie. But we got it out on the cinema. So it had premiere in 2010. And then after that, my friends want to do like some kind of zombie movie or something like that. And I'm more into, you know, sure, some zombie movies can be good, but that's not my style. I like more action, you know. I like The Godfather, Heat, that kind of movies. And I wanted to do a new format, a TV show about, you know, from inspired by the streets from when I was driving as a cab driver, you know, meeting the real cops out there, meeting the people. And at that time, I accidentally met with Dragomir Mirsic, who then had been in a movie called Easy Money.
Which was a big hit in Sweden.
Yeah, it was a huge hit in Sweden. And he makes this fantastic part as Merado in the Easy Money trilogy. And so we met. And from there, we started to discuss. He had some ideas about something he wanted to do, which was similar to mine. And we just put our heads together.
So you met with Dragomir Mirsic.
Yeah, so we met and we had some, you know, he's a great guy. I really like that guy. And we had some similar ideas or about, you know, visions about what we wanted to do. So we put our heads together. And after that, a company called Tre Vänner, which had produced the Easy Money trilogy, they were interested in producing our show as well, which was named Alex. So I jumped on board Tre Vänner and started to produce stuff for them. So while I was there, I was not only producing Alex, I took in my own stuff as well, like a documentary I did for about the Salazar brothers, who's who's here in Sweden. They're a well-known hip-hop producers. And we did The World of Elsa season 2, which was one of the first web TV shows, big web TV shows here in Sweden back in 2013. But while working at the same time on Alex, because Alex, you know, didn't premiere until 2018, I think, the first season premiered. So it took about 8 years for Alex to be made that TV show. So, you know, if you think about it, the first movie took, you know, 5 years or 4 or 5 years. And Alex took 7 or 8 years. Vitskrap or White Trash, it has, you know, the latest movie took 6 years. So it takes a lot of time to make these kind of projects.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I mean, Alex was also quite successful as a TV series, and it was shown on one of the Swedish streaming platforms, you could call it, right? How was you? And you even had a second season.
Yeah, we
correct?
Had a second second season on that one. You know, that was an incredible experience producing that show. We had, you know, we had, I think, around 40, 50 countries all over the world that aired that show. So it was an incredible hit. And the you know, we had Channel 4 in the UK, and they loved the show. And even Ricky Garvey, who's one of my favorite people in the world, he went out on Twitter and like saluted the show. So it was really cool. Amazing. That's a really amazing feeling when you worked so hard for something. And yeah, it's really cool.
Mm. And I mean, it must have felt very particular since you drew your inspiration from your kind of taxi cab days into that series. It must have felt like kind of closing the circle in some sense.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah, but making a TV show or whatever, it's all about teamwork. You know, you're so many people involved, and the bigger project, the bigger it gets. You know, the more people are involved, from financiers, and so it's all about teamwork. But I'm really happy that we had some left from the original idea that both me and Gogo put together and worked with. Regarding with style and vision on how to, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah, because already there you went into kind of a dark universe.
Definitely. Right? You know, I always liked the dark side of things. Mm. And I think that it's an interesting space. And in terms of when it comes to Alex, the TV shows made at that time period were like, you know, TV was lower quality than, you know, feature films back then. This was 2010, something like that.
You're right.
And so we wanted also to make a show that was more movie quality, you know, in some sense. And at the same time, we wanted to be more realistic. So that kind of vision was something we hold on to, you know, all over the full production period.
Mm.
So yeah, definitely.
And I think that's also what's exciting about your new film, Vitskap or White Trash, because you really dig into this kind of, what could you call it, like a dark thriller action style that is not very common to see in Sweden. So could you tell us, like, how did you get the courage to work on that, and how did you work with the director to find this style?
That's a really interesting question, and I think that in terms of, you know, I want to back up stuff or do stuff that I haven't seen before, or that I think can change the way we see things.
Yeah.
You know, I aim to be the first at some types of styles or you know, that kind of stuff. And Vitskap was a movie that we wanted to do something different. And, you know, I love the whole, if we are looking back at the Miramax 95, 96, 97 kind of vibe of movies. It was a total different kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And that kind of vibe was something we hadn't seen in Sweden.
Mm.
And I missed that kind of vibe, you know, when Pulp Fiction came, or even Guy Ritchie with, you know, his Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Mm-hmm. It was some kind of, you know, feeling that I hadn't seen before in Sweden.
Mm.
So we aimed, both me and the director have, you know, that kind of, we share that kind of same of mindset when it comes to style and vision.
Yeah.
So working together with Tobias, who's an amazing, he's a close friend and amazing director, this is his first feature film. Yeah. So I really believed in him when I took him on to this project to make White Trash. So it went pretty smooth, you know, the cooperation also with the actors. The actors totally understand the mindset we had for this movie and the visualization, because it's a special kind of movie, you know, it's not what you've seen before.
Yeah, you can also even see that in the cinematography. It's a very like distinct, stylish film.
Definitely.
Very special colors and settings and... you know.
Yeah, definitely. So we wanted to make something different, and I think that we have succeeded, and I think that people will either hate this movie, totally hate it, and I think that people also will love it. So I think that this movie is not the kind of, you know, movie.
Right.
It's not a meh. Either side, you know, hate it or love it. It's not going to be anything in between.
Yeah.
And that's what also makes it really hard to define it, because often when you're making a movie, you have to define it. You know, is it a horror movie, or is it an action movie, or is it a thriller?
Yeah.
So I've seen in the press here for this movie, is like some journalists call it an action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people says it's a thriller.
Right.
So it's like, it's a really hard time to really put it in a box.
In a box, yeah.
But I wouldn't go to the extent to say it's a comedy. It's not a family comedy. Yeah, but we have some dark humor, you know, dark comedy vibes in some scenes, but it's not a comedy, so just make that clear.
For sure.
So it's not for your family. Don't take your kids to watch this movie. Definitely not.
Definitely not. No, but I think there are definitely like some funny comedic moments, and especially when you see the different characters, they are built in a very nice characterized way, I would say. How was casting these very special characters, would you say?
You know, the character is everything. I think that I believe that the you have to really find the right character or the right actor for the right character. And in our case, we, you know, we had a fantastic two casting directors who worked with this movie, who is just incredible casting directors from two different companies as well. So we really looked, you know, big in finding actors to play these kind of characters, because as you said, they are characters, like real characters. And I think we have this one guy, Donald Högberg, who plays a fantastic actor who plays the old man in the movie, and he was the guy I think we casted like 60, 70 old man
for that part.
And he is the kind of, you know, the character is, you know, he can switch between being really nice and humble to being, you know,
terrible or
scary. The dark side, the looks, you know, like a little on the edge of schizophrenic, borderline, you know, that kind of. So it was really hard to find the actor that could switch like that. So so I think that Gubben, Donald, he came in on the last day, on the last casting. And he just nailed the part. We were like, oh my God, that's Gubben. So we had some of those moments where they like casted 80, 90 people for one part. And we were like, shit, this is hard. You know, when we see it, we know it. You know, when we find it, we will know it. But nobody had, you know, delivered. So we just kept on looking until we found that, you know, that special actor that could deliver what Tobias wanted and what we as a production company doing this movie wanted.
And also the main character played by Ola is also quite special. Could you tell us a little bit about him and the entrance into the film for that character?
You know, we had some kind of vision, especially with from the beginning. We drew some inspiration from, you know, the early cowboy movies, Stranger coming into town.
Exactly.
You know, this early Clint Eastwood kind of vibes. So the movie is about, I won't tell you what the movie is about because that would ruin a lot of things, but
surface level.
On a surface level, it's all about, you know, is the grass greener on the other side, you know, and what is dreams versus reality? And this character portrays, Ola plays Sami, who really portrays a character that he comes into this kind of town, like, you know, like this kind of cowboy in search of something. But we really don't know what he's searching for. Yeah. That, of course, will come up in the movie. But so we are mixing, because he doesn't have so many lines in the movie. You're more following the character. You're more following Sami as a character in the movie through the people around him. Through how they are interfering with each other, how they are talking, how, you know, everything surrounding him. So they are the one driving his story. In one sense, you know. So it's a really cool way of working with a lead character through other characters, so they are the one bringing forward the lead character.
Sounds flummit
as you say.
No, but he's more of an observer, and he's kind of following the flow in some way of the things that happen to him. No, I think you're definitely have a interesting point. Also talking about the character trying to realize his dream, and I think that goes for like even the bi characters, like everyone is trying to achieve this kind of dream but in different ways, and all of their paths kind of like collide together,
you know. And it's like I seen this great what was it called, I think it's called Crash, remember that movie?
Yes,
you know,
of course,
everything comes together. And that's such an interesting aspect, you know. And I think that life is like that. I think we people we have our dreams, we have our hopes, and that clashes often with the reality.
Yeah,
that clashes really often with the reality, you know. And in some way, it also makes people forget to live here and now, because you're constantly dreaming about a better future, about more money, about a happy wife, or what it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is a dangerous mind, because that can also make you forget that life is, it's about the present, it's about here and now.
Exactly.
Because I remember when I was working in my, you know, early 20s, I was just working really hard, you know, chasing these dreams.
Yeah.
And then just like 10 years, I think it was in my early 30s, something like that, I just realized that, where has 10 years passed by?
Yeah.
It just went like that. I hadn't enjoyed it. I just had been working and chasing dreams, you know?
Yeah.
And I figured out also that when I achieved one dream, I would just automatically set up another dream constantly. So it's like, you know, if you want to make your first 100K or whatever, when you have achieved that, you will just set up another, you know, goal.
Exactly.
And another goal and another goal. So it was just keep on continuing. So I think it's really important to sometimes just enjoy, you know, what you have here and now.
Like
just take a step back and chill and just take it as it comes. So, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
I think that's a great point that you're making, and it must feel great also, like now, like this week, for an instance, premiering the film, you can kind of enjoy it and just kind of reap the rewards of all those years of hard work.
You know, it's a strange feeling, because I think that, you know, the next step, you know, we are very humble and happy that we got this movie made and it's completed. But now it's just like, okay, we're going to get it out there so people can watch it. And then it's like, okay, we're going to put that behind us. We're going to look at new projects. So always constantly be developing, you know. So you shouldn't be stuck in the past. But
that's
of
true.
Course,
that's
I'm going to enjoy now while we can, you know, 1 week. And then it's let's do something else now. Just, you know, look forward to something new.
Yeah. And the gala premiere is going to be in Borlänge, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The city of Borlänge, or the city of Borlänge.
Yeah. Could you tell us the reason behind that and a little bit about that place?
When we started this whole project, I got together, I had a meeting with what you call Filmedalarna, the English?
A local regional fund.
Yeah, the local regional fund for that was Filmedalarna. And I had a meeting with Daniel Valentin, who was in charge there. And they supported us from that meeting on, like very, very early. So nobody else were supporting us except them and also C-More, which is a streaming service. Because they really believed in the idea from the beginning.
Yeah.
So we produced, I think we shot about 70% or something like that of the movie in Borlänge, around in the community of Borlänge and around Borlänge, like Hedemora and cities close by.
Yeah.
Or villages, or what do you call them, like small small towns. So we wanted to give back, and we wanted to do like a special kind of, because the movie officially premieres this Friday, but now tomorrow, Tuesday, we wanted to give back by doing like a special kind of screening only for in Borlänge.
Yeah.
In the cinema in Borlänge. And it's open for everybody. So we're going to be we're going there, some actors, me, my co-producer and the director and some actors are going to Borlänge tomorrow.
That's perfect.
We're going to meet with the people and talk with them, have a Q&A and just show them the results, because they've been waiting for this. You know, on social media, I got tons of messages like, when is the movie ready? When is from people living there? Because it's like a proud moment for them, because we did so much of the movie in Borlänge. So I'm really happy to be able to show them and the results and to meet and greet with them again.
I think that's great. And I think it's great also like having a film like this set in such a particular area and like also showing some of those landscapes and maybe sites that you don't see that often.
Definitely, because it's a lot of heart and soul in those cities, you know. And I think that the small towns in general, you know, they get, you know, people bypass them often, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's all about Stockholm and then Gothenburg and Malmö, but nobody, you know, gives attention to the small town where 90% of the people live, you know. 90% of the people lives in small towns.
That's true.
Or something like that. So it's I think that, yeah, it was such a nice, you know, experience just doing our movie in Borlänge, and that we got the support from Film I Dalarna and the community of Borlänge and the people there. It was just amazing. And we didn't know anybody. When we came to Borlänge, we actually went to a restaurant in the city of Borlänge, and we just talked with the bartender, and he befriended us. So we became friends with him. So he showed us around, you know, the places in Borlänge and what to do. And so it was really, you know, they were, the people of Borlänge was showing us Borlänge. So that was really amazing feeling.
That's the best, with that kind of community experience.
Definitely.
So the film is premiering now, 4th of June, this Friday, and I just want to ask you a little bit too, like, what's happening next? Since we came, we touched upon that a little bit, like, what's your dreams? What's your vision coming up? Of what you can reveal, of course.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's going to be a lot of things. The one thing is, of course, with the movie, with the international sales. We have a screening in Cannes coming up soon. And we're going to see like what's going to happen from that and what countries are going to buy the movie for other release.
So that's super exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working with a TV show together with Anders Nilsson, who is the co-creator of a TV show called Johan Falk.
Oh, yeah.
So we put our brains together, and we are creating a spy action kind of show together. So we're going to see where that where that concept ends up.
That's also great. That's also like a genre you don't see that too much of coming from.
Yeah, and especially from you know, two guys like me and Anders, who are, you know, well known doing like cool action stuff. Especially Anders is the godfather of action in Sweden, and it's a lot of Swedish film directors that has, you know, walked his shoes and learned from Anders.
Yeah,
great guy, fantastic guy. So we're gonna work together on this, and it's gonna be an interesting project.
Excellent.
And that also started, like, you know, as I told you in the beginning, sometimes it's good that you don't know what you're doing, and you just jump into the waters. And with Anders, I didn't know him, and after Alex premiered, I wanted to do something new.
Yeah.
So I just actually called up Anders.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I really like your job, your stuff. You want to work together. So we didn't know each other. So he was like, yeah, I saw Alex. It's a good show. Let's see if we can create some magic together.
Brainstorm.
And that's how we, you know, just started.
That's the best. Yeah.
And it was so interesting because Anders told me, like, almost nobody gives him calls like that.
Yeah.
Because they think he's so busy.
Exactly.
So people have, you know, made up their mind that he has to be busy, this guy.
They put him on a pedestal.
But,
so
yeah, like, exactly. But right there and then, it was all about timing. So he had no new projects at that time.
Yeah.
So we just, like, it was like a timing question.
Very good.
So I have that. And I'm also looking for, I'm also looking on some international projects. I'm going to be executive producing more to bring in projects to Scandinavia. So that's going to be interesting. And also, of course, the private side, the lectures. We're going to do this autumn and winter. I'm going to do a lot of lectures and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Very exciting. There's a lot of stuff coming up.
Definitely.
So more things to see
even
after the feature.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So I think that's about the time for us today. So
cool.
Thank you so much for coming, Michael.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. And I will see you soon again, I hope. Yes.
Perfect.
So that was episode 20 of Electronic Talks podcast. Big thanks to Michael for coming today. And we will see you all again next week. Thank you.